Hi, I'm Jamie from Stillmire Games, and today I'm really, really excited to talk to you about one of my favorite mechanisms in games, and that is games where you can sneakily play some cards face down and make them hidden. And I want to differentiate that definition because there are lots of games where you play cards face down or where you are essentially playing cards without other players knowing what are on those cards until you play the cards. But specifically today, I'm talking about games where some of the cards that you are playing or revealing are face up, but some of them are face down. They're hidden information, and you are choosing which cards to play face up or face down. To help define this a little bit, I'll mention two examples that don't quite work from Stillmire Games. It's actually one that doesn't quite work, and that is Libertalia, Winds of Galecrest. In Libertalia, you're playing a card simultaneously with all other players. You're putting a card from your hand face down in front of you, and then you're revealing with all other players. It does have a sneaky feel to it, which I really like about Libertalia, but none of the cards you're ever playing are face up open information for all players to see before they get to make a decision. So Libertalia doesn't count for this list. The other game that actually does count, but only in a minor way, is Red Rising. This is a game where you have a hand of cards. You're crafting this hand of cards, and on most turns, you are getting rid of a card and gaining a new card. There are a few cards in Red Rising that let you be sneaky and let that card that you get rid of be face down. Or there's a few that say, like, draw a few cards from the deck, put them face down on different locations. So there's a little bit of this in Red Rising, but not a lot of it. Some ambassador picks for this category are Beast, Colt Express, Dead of Winter, Dune Imperium, Magic the Gathering, Stockpile, and Tussie Mussie. You might see some of those on my list in a minute. My honorable mentions are Netrunner, Skytear, Dead of Winter, and Air, Land, and Sea. And some of these were very close to other picks on the list, very similar games to other games on the list, and I just slightly picked the other game, the alternative to these games, on my list. So let's start out with a game called BS. That is my number 10 pick here. I couldn't find exactly a picture of BS. There is a version of BS by a different name on BoardGameGeek. I just wanted to show a deck of cards here because you can play BS with any deck of cards. BS is a game that I played for many years, probably in my 20s, I would say, where on your turn, you are claiming to have a certain number of cards. And I guess BS, as I'm saying this, BS doesn't exactly fit into the formula that I just mentioned, the constraints that I just mentioned, because in BS, you are always playing cards face down. But they're not always being revealed, so it kind of counts for this list. So in BS, you're trying to get rid of your hand. It's a shedding game. So you were saying, I'm playing three fives, and you put three cards face down from your hand on top of the stack. And you're either trying to play a number of cards that is equal to or higher than the cards that were previously there, or more cards that were previously there. The key is that you might be lying about this. You might not be telling the truth. You might actually have a queen and a four and a five in that three cards, or you might actually have three cards. And it's up to the other players to call BS on you to make you either reveal that you didn't actually have three fives or that you did. And if they are correct in calling you out on that, you have to take those cards back. You have to take all the cards back from the stack. If they are incorrect, then they take, I believe it's all the cards in the stack. Maybe it's just those three cards. It's been a while since I played. But I remember having a lot of fun with this game. I haven't played it in a long time, but it definitely conveys that sneaky feel. And you get to be sneaky every turn. Like, the game doesn't let you not be sneaky. You can tell the truth, but you have to play those cards face down. So by definition, maybe it doesn't quite qualify for this list, but I wanted to mention it because I don't mention a lot of classic card games on my channel, but I think it's worth mentioning it. So that is BS at number 10. At number 9, I have a game called Colt Express. Here's a photo of Colt Express. This is a train robbery game where you are, similar to Libertalia, you are simultaneously playing some cards into a stack. So again, as I mentioned this, maybe it doesn't quite fit the definition, but it still feels that way a little bit, because in Colt Express, you are playing cards face down into a single deck that will be revealed in opposite order. So you'll kind of flip over the deck and reveal cards in opposite order. So you're planning this train robbery with the other players at the table. You can see the little meeples. You can jump up and down on levels. You can jump from one train car to the next. And these cards do things like, they say move or jump or shoot or gather tokens, things like that. But the order of operations is the key in this game, because I am playing a card face down into this deck, not knowing what other cards, what cards other players will play. in that order, and then you're revealing them in the order that you played them. So it's like you're planning this big heist and then executing the heist without having a lot of choices during the heist, but you still have some choices. Like, it might say move, and you might still get to choose where you move based on where you need to move at that given time. So again, perhaps not the best pick for this, the exact definition that I've described here, but Cult Express has this feeling of sneakiness because no one else knows what cards you're playing or what order you're playing them in. And you have that same information or same lack of information for other players until you actually reveal all the cards in the deck. That is Cult Express at number 9. And number 8 is one more game that maybe doesn't, actually, as I'm talking here, maybe some of these games don't quite fit the definition that I mentioned, but that's okay. We'll just keep talking about them because these are games where it is fun to feel like you're being sneaky. And this is Sheriff of Nottingham at number 8. So in Sheriff of Nottingham, it is a game where you are putting cards into a little envelope and you're trying to sneak them past the player who is currently the sheriff. And similar to BS almost, you are claiming, like you can say whatever you want about what's in the bag. You are claiming that they are legitimate goods that you are trying to bring into the town. And it's up to you to choose if you want to sneak some cards that aren't actually goods, some contraband cards into that pack. And there's a negotiation that happens with the sheriff. Maybe they really don't believe you. They can feel that there's a lot in that bag. They don't really believe what you put in there. And they can call you out on it. And you could say, okay, well, maybe I'm not exactly telling the truth, but I'll bribe you. I'll bribe you with some coins. And that might even still, if they don't accept the bribe, that might encourage them to open the bag, but maybe you were tricking them and you really wanted them to open the bag and reveal some things that are actually all legitimate. And then you have fooled the sheriff. So there's a lot of bluffing that goes on in Sheriff of Nottingham. Technically, I guess all the cards are face down because you are playing all the cards into a bag. The sheriff can't open that bag until they're ready to open it, and then everything is revealed. But there's a sense of contraband versus legitimate goods. The legitimate goods feel a little bit more like face-up cards because they are legitimately placed into the bag. So that is Sheriff of Nottingham at number 8 on this list. At number 7, I have Battlestar Galactica. So in Battlestar Galactica, one of my favorite mechanisms in the game, like there's a lot going on in the game. There's hidden traders. It's semi-cooperative. It can be a longer game. There's also a remake of the game called, I'm blanking on the name right now. You'll know when, as you're watching this, hopefully it's a Cthulhu themed game. But Battlestar Galactica my favorite mechanism is the skill test mechanism in it, where you are trying to pass a skill test as a ship. And to do so, there are different types of tests that you're trying to pass. You can see the different colors on these cards. And the number, you're trying to reach a certain number. So as you're trying to do something as a ship, everyone can contribute cards to this test, but you contribute them generally face down. And so other players don't know what you've contributed. So if you are the trader in the game, then you might contribute lower numbers or cards that don't actually fit the color of the skill test that you're trying to achieve. Or if you just don't have cards to contribute that do fit that. And so you might appear as the trader, but no one really knows it's you because you're putting all the cards into a single stack. You're shuffling them. So you don't know which players contributed which cards. And then you're revealing them simultaneously to see if you pass the test. And sometimes there are some other sneaky cards that you can fit in there. So again, I think most of the cards are submitted face down. They're not open information, but maybe a few of them, it's been a little while since I played, a few of them might actually be face up. So that is Battlestar Galactica at number 7. I think the rest of the games on this list actually qualify for the list. So hopefully I'll meet my own definition for the rest of the list. And let's start out with Tussie Mussie, which definitely meets this definition. This is a game from Wingspan designer Elizabeth Hargrave, a game where it's an I Cut You Choose game where you're taking two different cards and you're putting one face up and one face down. And one of the players on your right or left has to choose which of those cards they want, and you get to keep the other one. So you can be sneaky. In fact, you're always being a little sneaky because you're choosing what information you don't want that player to have. Which card are you putting face down? And so it might be a case where you really want the face down card. And so you'll put a card face up that you know the player really wants. Or maybe you have two cards that maybe you don't know what the other player wants. Maybe you don't even really quite know what you want at that time because it's too early in the game. And that might in fact impact your decision too. But it's for such a pleasant game, like pleasantly themed game, I love the little bit of sneakiness here where one card has to be face down. You don't have a choice there. It has to be face down. So you get to be a little sneaky with that. That is Tussie Mussie at number 5. And number four is Magic the Gathering, specifically the morph mechanism. So this is a mechanism in the game where we have an example here, the Brine Elemental. It says you may cast this card face down as a 2/2 creature for 3 colorless mana. And so there are a bunch of cards like this in Magic the Gathering where you can play them for 3 colorless, which is really, really helpful because in Magic, you may not have blue mana at the time that you want to cast this spell. It also gives you a way to play this card, this Brine Elemental, which usually costs 6 total mana. You can play it earlier in the game. You can play it on turn 3, potentially, for a 2/2 creature. It's nice to have a 2/2 creature early in the game, especially while you're waiting to get the mana that you need to cast this bigger spell. And then, wonderfully, Morph allows you to later change this card into its full form by flipping it face up. And they oftentimes build an ability in here, like Brine Elemental says, when Brine Elemental is turned face up, each opponent skips their next untap step, a very powerful spell. So you have tons of choices built into this one card type. When do you play it? Do you play it early on as a 2/2 creature? It could be helpful. It's more vulnerable then. It could just die. Do you wait and play it for 6 mana when you really need a 5/4 creature, or do you play it in such a way that it will take a little bit longer to actually morph it and get it to its 5/4 form, but you get a special ability when you do morph it? There's a lot of cleverness built into this morph mechanism in Magic, and you get to feel sneaky while you're doing so because the opponent doesn't know what's on the other side of this card. They don't know if it'll be a big creature like this, or it could be a smaller creature. Usually they know it's going to be a little sneaky, and you can even trigger this morph ability in combat. So you might attack with a 2/2 creature. The opponent might think, okay, well, I'll just block this easy 2/2 creature. And then you flip it over and it's a 5/4. And you do much more damage in combat than you actually thought. So much cleverness built into this morph mechanism in Magic the Gathering at number 5. And number 4 is a fairly recent play for me. This is Hidden Leaders. This is a multiplayer tug of war game where you are allied with 2 different colors in the game, 2 different factions, really. And those factions have different interests. They have different things that they want out of this tug of war track. Your hand is secret, and you're also playing cards face up and face down. In fact, you start the game with some face down cards. So you get to decide which cards you want those to be. And those matter at the end of the game in particular, because usually in a game of Hidden Leaders, you are going to share a faction with another player. So you might be working together with another player without even knowing it. So, for example, there might be another player who wants, I remember the undead specifically, the undead want the game to end with both tokens in the undead area of this track. And so say that, here's an undead card right here. Say there are multiple undead players. At the end of the game, the undead player who wins, if the undead is the faction that wins, the player with undead who wins is the player who has the most undead cards, face up or face down. And so that's where you can be sneaky in this game, where you can avoid giving away your faction a little bit by having some undead cards, in this case, in this example, face down. Other players don't know what those cards are. And you get to do that during the game. There's some opportunities in the game to play cards face down as well. Throughout the game, you get to feel sneaky. You have this information that other players don't have. And it's also a choice, because if you're placing cards face down, it means that you're not playing them. And generally by playing undead cards, you are helping the undead faction. So you might be sacrificing a little bit and leaning a little more heavily on other players to do undead-like things while you are preparing to break that tie at the end of the game. Really clever tug of war game with hidden elements through these face down cards. That's Hidden Leaders at number 4 on my list. And number 3 is another recent game called Unrest. This is an asymmetric 2-player game where one player is playing cards and trying to meet a condition to complete a resistance or rebellion of a certain region of the board. The other player is playing tokens that tend to get rid of these cards or move these cards around so that unrest doesn't happen on that specific region. And the player who, the rebellion player, the rebels, they have to play some cards face down. So again, similar to Tussie Mussie, you don't have a choice here. You have to play some cards face down, but you get to choose which cards you are actually playing face down. And that provides a puzzle for the other player. Which cards do they decide to play face down? Which cards do they try to reveal that are face down or destroy or move around that are face down? They don't really know. You get to be sneaky in every single turn of the game. And it's up to the other player to figure out, what are they actually saying? What cards are face down? Why would they place this card face down or this card face up? So like in this example, say it's clear to the Empire player that blue is important. High numbers of blue are important. And so if I've placed another, if I played a high blue card face up and I played some other cards face down, that really makes me wonder, like, what are you hiding under there if you were so overt about placing this blue card face up? It's a huge guessing game, a huge bluffing game. And I love the sneakiness of putting these cards face down and the puzzle that the other player has to solve as a result of this lack of information. That's unrest at number three. Number two is Sunday Split, another I Cut You Choose game that requires players to place some cards face down. So this is an example of a three-player game here in Sunday Split. When you are, you have this hand of cards, it's a set collection game, and as the active player, you are choosing to divide these cards into stacks, three total stacks in a three-player game. And for every player count, there's a certain number of cards that must be placed face down. So it looks like in a three-player game, it must be three cards. But where you put those cards and what cards you choose to be face down are up to you. This player has clearly decided, okay, I want to hedge my bets. I want to put one face down card on each pile. So every player is going to get a face down card. But you might not do that. You might put all the face down cards in one pile. You might, you might spread them out. You might put them all in one place. And generally in Sunday Split, most of the cards are good, but there are a few cards, types of foods that you don't actually want in a Sunday, like broccoli. You don't want broccoli in a Sunday. And so some of these cards are negative points. That's where the sneakiness comes in. Have I hidden a negative card in one of these stacks, or have I hidden a really powerful card that I want to get? That might be what this player is doing here by having a smaller stack and a higher value card right here that they're hoping to get. So there's sneakiness both ways and hiding really good cards that you want and really bad cards that you want other players to take in Sunday Split at number two on this list. Number one is a game that comes up many times on this list. That is Hanami Koji, because it is a bit of a tug of war game. It's a bit of an I Cut You Choose game, and it has a brilliant action system where over the course of the round, you only have four actions and you must use all of those actions. But the order in which you use those actions is entirely up to you. For example, one of those options is to just delete two cards, remove two cards from that round. They are not going to be used, but they're face down. Other players don't know what they are. And you might delete them because you already have. So for example, like here, this geisha, there are three cards associated with this geisha. Two of them have been played. So maybe I already have, actually it would be a better example if there's only one card on this geisha. And I have the other two blue threes, I might just remove them from the game so that no other player can choose those, or the other player cannot choose those cards and put them next to that geisha and somehow gain a tiebreaker or gain control of the geisha or gain the influence, the affection, the attention of the geisha. So that's one of the actions. There's also an action where you're putting one card. How many is it? It's one card face up, one card face down, and you do that twice. There's one where there are three cards. Some of them are face up, some of them are face down. And there's one where you are just reserving a card face down. So in nearly every action of the game, there are face down, face up cards. I think in the three card one, I might be misremembering that. In that one, there might be all three cards face up. Let's see if I can find the token anywhere here. I can't seem to find it. But here we go. Yes. So it looks like there actually is complete open information. It's been a little while since I played this, that where three of the cards are face up, and in this one that all the cards are face up there too. But the cards are face down if you reserve it or if you delete it. So there is some face down information. I think there even could be an action where maybe one of these cards is face down. I like that sneakiness in Hanami Koji. But it's a wonderful game where of this information of you're deciding what cards am I going to remove from my hand, either to reserve or to delete, that are face down. The opponent does not have that information, is just such a great decision point in Hanami Koji. And also the opponent's doing the same thing. You know they're going to take that action at some point. You're also choosing when to do that. When do I want to remove this card from my hand? That timing element as tied to the face down nature of Hanami Koji is really, really great. It's a great decision space. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So what are some games where you get to be a little sneaky in playing some cards face down while some other cards are still played face up? Obviously, I didn't give some great examples with this. I gave some examples of games where you're sneaky, but where everything is face down. I'd love to hear some other examples of games where cards are face up and face down, and games that you really, really enjoy. Let me know in the comments below. Thanks.